My name is Luke D'Souza, and I'll be reading a tribute I wrote for Mother's Day. And before I start, I'd like to read a quote I found fitting for this occasion. A mother's love for her child is like nothing else in the world. It knows no law, no pity. It dares all things and crushes down remorselessly all that stands in its path. Now, when Pastor Ed Randy asked me if I wanted to speak for Sabbath today, I was a little nervous and still am. But when he told me it was going to be a speech for my mom for Mother's Day, I thought, well, that's pretty easy. Because here's a woman who's devoted her whole entire life into raising 5 kids in a Christ-centered household. Now, that's something to admire, because being a mom is not an easy task. And I see it like pottery, where you have to shape and mold your children into who they are and what they will become. Now, my mother, I'd like to praise right now for her constant patience and unending love. Now, I forgot. My mom is smart, loving, and I'm sure, as a lot of you know, very animated. And my mom, like any other mom, can be embarrassing at times. But she never ceases to remind me of her love and how she believes that God placed her here to raise me and my siblings. Now, she has this unattainable patience and unbelievably just perfect way to forgive people and never is not able to forgive someone. Now, that's a trait I would love to attain, and it's a godly trait that I think everyone should attain. Now, I think we should all praise God for the patience and unending tender love of a mother.
Good morning, church family. Good morning. So today I'm going to be talking about the one and only mother, my mom, mommy. So it's been a whole year, and I can't believe it. It seems like yesterday we were celebrating this, and I think we should celebrate it every single day. But I have a story to tell, and it's going to give you a bit of a sample of how much our mother loves us. But about 3 years ago, I was often sick, whether it was simply a cold or a high fever. The colds I could handle, but the fevers, let's just say I couldn't exactly do anything. Before each of these fevers, I would have a reoccurring night terror that I was small and everything was big. These big characters were always after me, and I would have to run, hide, just to get away from them, to feel safe, but I never did. That was when I woke up. But not because of the night terror, but because of my mother. She'd always hear me, no matter the time of night. She'd hear me crying in my sleep, and she'd get up, run to my room, run, and hold me in her arms, telling me everything was going to be okay. Those words should have been enough, but they weren't. Not with this dream. I'd lay shaken for at least half an hour, and my mother stayed the whole time, often staying the whole night. Now, this instance happened a lot during these years, but it wasn't until recently that I realized the impact of a mother's love and how it can be related to our Father in heaven. So now let me tell you the same story, but in a different context. We've all had those years where we are often sick, whether they're tiny colds or raging fevers. For some of us, we can handle the colds, but the fevers, we're left helpless. During these fevers in life, we can feel like big stresses, big responsibilities, that they're chasing us down, and we need to run, hide, to get anywhere to feel safe. But we never do. That is until we wake up, not because of more pressure, more stress, but because of our Father in heaven. He will always hear us, no matter what time. He'll hear us crying in our sleep, and get up, run to our room, run to hold us in his arms and tell us it's going to be okay. Though these words should have been enough, they weren't, not for these dreams. We lay shaken for days, often weeks, but it's okay, for God will stay with us forever and ever. So to all those mothers out there, I just want to say, thank you for all your love, your never-ending love that gives us a look into our own precious Father in Heaven's own love.
So, we're obviously here for Mother's Day, but when Pastor Manny asked me to speak, I'm like, I have a problem. I don't just have one mother. I don't just have two mothers. I've adopted two extra mothers over the years of my elementary career. So I'm going to tell you a little story about each of them, starting with my biological mother. So, my junior year, we go to East Coast at the beginning of the year for our history tour. Well, me, being the uninformed, unaware, not really caring junior, I kind of ditched my mom for most of this trip. So she's by herself hanging out with her friends, which I'm hanging out with my friends. I think it's fine. At the end of the first day, she comes to me and says, "So where were you?" I'm like, "I was on the same trip you were, probably just two steps ahead of you." She's like, "No, where were you for the pictures?" I totally forgot about pictures. Because what is a junior thinking? Not about pictures. You're like, "Whoa, this is super cool. I'm never going to be able to do this." They don't think to save the moment by a picture. So my mom has grabbed another student to take a picture with her and adopt him as his son, or her son. So now all of our pictures from East Coast are my mom and Dylan Blaufuss. not me and my mom, it's me and Dylan Blaufuss, or my mom and Dylan Blaufuss. So yeah, and I just smiled and laughed and said, "Well, I deserve that." So the rest of the trip, I was taking pictures with my mom. So now when we look back on it, it's going to be first day of East Coast, my mom and Dylan. The rest of it is my mom and me. And that's what I love about my mom. She doesn't care necessarily what others think of her. She's going to do what she wants. And that's what she's taught me. It's not to care what people think of you. It's to do what you think is right and do it with all your heart. So now, let's go back to elementary school. This is third or fourth grade, like between grades, so this is the summer. And I don't know what my parents were doing, but I ended up spending a lot of time at the Gates' house. And so much so that their dogs even stopped letting my parents get out of their car, because I was over there so much, they kind of adopted me as their own. But it was every day, like 9 o'clock, I'd get dropped off at their house, which I still love my parents for this. I think it's great that I was having a play date for a week straight. It was great. So I get dropped off at 8 o'clock, come in, they're probably eating breakfast, so I probably, snuck a waffle here or there. And Mrs. Gates just welcomed me in. "Hi, how you doing?" And I said, "Great." Had a seat. Like, she welcomed me into their house. And then Adam and I went to go play where I don't know where Daphne went. And she's my sister, by the way, if you didn't know that. And then we'd come in for lunch, and there would Mrs. Gates be serving me a plate of food, and I would be like, "Oh, food," like every elementary school student. And it was like that for a week, and I don't know, it's been like that ever since. Like, if my mom's not there, I'm hanging out with Mrs. Gates. And if Mrs. Gates is there and my mom is there, I'm hanging out with both of them. So it's mom squared. And then let's go back, still in elementary school. And I don't know if you guys have had this question asked to you, but there's two questions an elementary school student always asks their parent. Can I go over to someone's house, or can they come over to my house? And that was the question every Saturday after church I asked Mrs. Cooper. I asked, "Hey, can Logan come over, or can I come over to your house?" Because Logan said, "She's more likely to say yes if you ask." So Yes, I threw him under the bus. So, and that's how I got to know Mrs. Cooper, or now Dr. Cooper. And it wasn't the, oh, hi, how are you doing? Logan, let's go play in your room. No, it was, hey, you want something to eat? I'm making lunch. What do you want? You look super skinny. Yes, I'm trying not to look that way so I don't get embarrassed. But it was always that invitation to come into your home, like into their home and be a part of their house. So now I've started calling all of them mom. So whenever I say mom, usually I get two or three looks back. Me? But in all seriousness, I love my moms, and I don't know what I would do without them because they've all taught me a valuable lesson of inviting others into their lives and just treating them with love and compassion and caring for them with all their hearts. So, thank you, moms.
Amen. So that video was actually done by Academy students. So amen for that, right? So I have a quick question to ask. If you have ever mothered or been a mother, please stand. So if you have ever mothered or been a mother, please stand. So all the ladies in here should be standing because I'm sure you have mothered somebody along the way in life, even if you haven't had kids, all right? So thank you so much, ladies, for just, man, this world would be a hot mess without women in it. No, please stay standing. We have flowers for you guys, okay? Or girls, sorry, flowers for you ladies. So if the front row would please come and pass out some of these flowers. Thanks, Logan. You want to help out too, Luke, please? Be careful because there's thorns on them, so I'm sorry we didn't really get a chance to dethorn them, so just be careful, all right? So again, thank you so much, ladies, for just everything you have done for people, for your kids, and just for the world in general. Like I said, this world, man, it would be a mess without the love of a mother in it. So the love of a parent, there is nothing like it. Amen? The love of a parent, there's nothing like it. And once you get your flowers, you guys, you may be seated. Once you get your flowers, you may be seated. So the love of a parent, there's nothing like it. The only thing that is actually comparable to the love of a parent is the love of God. Amen? So the only thing comparable to the love of a parent is the love of God. Now, I want to thank you so much for the students that came and shared a little bit about their mothers. And I know that there are plenty of stories in here about mothers, how their unconditional love for their kids, how they have just been there constantly for their children, how they have fed them, how they have cared for them, how they have comforted them. And the list can just go on and on. So I know there's so many stories in here like that. Where you have of your kids or maybe of people that you have mothered during your life. And I know, too, that there are parents in here, all parents actually, are praying for their kids, right? Constantly praying for your kids, constantly praying for their protection, constantly praying for their salvation. I know that there's parents in here that are still doing that to this day. And I don't think parents ever stop doing that. So just real quick, I want to share with you two scriptures from the Bible. And this is Jesus talking in Matthew 23:37, and he's looking over Jerusalem, and he says this: "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Now, kind of backing up a little bit, I personally believe that when God created Adam and Eve, this is so amazing. So when God created Adam and Eve, I believe he put a little bit of himself into Adam, and he put a little bit of himself into Eve, right? So I think God, the character of God is encompassed with a man and with a woman. Now this is what makes it even more powerful, that when God says, you shall be joined together, you shall be one flesh, right? I don't think that just means physically. So when you are together one flesh, that means you come together in character, in spirit, and this is the body that is going to represent God in all of the world and in the home too. Right? So when God created Adam and Eve, I believe he put a little bit of himself into Adam and a little bit of himself into Eve. And the cool thing about this is that throughout Scripture, you see Jesus, portraying himself in a motherly way. Right? Isn't that awesome? Jesus portrays himself in a motherly way. And he says, "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Now, when you guys think of a hen gathering her chicks, what are some of the reasons why a hen would gather their chicks under their wings? Anybody want to take a guess? What's that? Protection, warm, right? Anything else? I heard someone say safety also, right? All those things, right? And safety too, right? So when there's danger around, the mother gathers her chicks under her wings because there's danger, right? And so deeper into this verse, it also gives an image. I don't know if you guys have ever seen hens or hens fight. How many of you guys have ever seen that? No, I've seen it before. Maybe some of you that have farms, maybe you guys have seen it too. Hens, when they fight, they're vicious. They're ferocious, man. It doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter how fast you are, how big your bark is. When those chicks are under those wings, that hen is going to fearless. If you try to mess with those chicks, doesn't matter how big you are. You're gonna get it from that hen. All right, and this is the picture that God is setting for his children. He says, "How often I wanted to gather you children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." Now, I know there is not a parent in here that is willing to be ferocious to fight for their kids' safety, to fight for their kids' salvation, and to fight for their kids in life in general. I know there is not a parent in here that wouldn't be willing to do that. And man, imagine this is how God portrays himself too. That he wants to protect us. He wants to cover us. Even so much to the point, anything that comes after us, he's willing to fight for us. That's powerful, right? And kids, you students, I hope that you guys feel that too from your parents. I don't believe there's anything that your parents wouldn't be not willing to do for you, even to the point of give their own lives, right? Just as God laid down his life for us. All right, and the second verse I want to read is found in Isaiah 66, verse 13. It says, "As a mother," again, there we go with the portraying himself as a mother, "as a mother comforts her children, so will I comfort you." That's so powerful, right? And how many of you guys have ever needed to be comforted before? Pretty sure all of us have, right? But there is nothing like getting the comfort from a mom. Oh, man, I love it. I kind of shared earlier with a children's story that when I felt sick, when I was sick, I didn't want my dad around. Like, I wanted to be comforted from my mom, you know? And maybe it's different because I'm a boy, you know? But there is nothing like the comfort of a mother. And just like Mia shared in her story, how Miss Sakata got up and just was there for her as she was having these dreams. You know, it's okay, it's going to be okay, I'm here. God is the same way with us. God comforts us. He's there for us. And we have our parents because they are portraying the love of God to us. And so that's just what I want to share with you all today. Again, thank you, mothers, for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do. And, you know, when I'm a parent one day, which I hope is not too far along the way, but when I'm a parent one day, I can't imagine what that's going to be like to have a kid and to just, I don't know, like, I can't explain it right now, but some parents in here can. So thank you so much for your love, for your compassion, and just for pouring yourselves into these young people up here today. Why don't we go ahead and say a word of prayer, and then the academy is going to play us out of here. Father in heaven, thank you so much, God, for another day of life. Thank you so much for our families. Thank you so much for our parents. Thank you so much for our mother. Thank you, God, that you put a little bit of yourself into them to truly show us the love of who you are, Father. And as a hen gathers her chicks around her and underneath her wings, so you want to do the same thing to us. But are we willing, Father? That is the question. And when I think about that, I think of just a hen protecting their chicks with all their might, with all their life, with all their being. And I just want to thank you, God, because you did that for us on the cross. When you sent your son Jesus to die for us, there was nothing that was going to stop him from saving me. There was nothing that was going to stop him from saving each and every person in here. But are we willing, Father, to be under your wings? That's the question. Again, thank you so much for our mothers, for the comfort they give us, for the support they give us, for the love that they give us. And just thank you so much for creating us in your image, God. We love you so much. We thank you so much for who you are and for making us who we are. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.